thinking that you're like in the journalist realm too, because you had Mayor Renard Johnson on your pod. That's huge. Prior
Exactly.
to him winning the seat, right? So I was like, okay, he's a journalist. He's a
I
reporter.
would say like very un what's the word? Unofficial, like
Yeah.
but that opportunity, like that was that because I've had some pretty cool people on, especially from El Paso.
Yeah, big time.
But that having him on was just like, oh shit, like this is something different, and it's a different it's like a different vision that I hadn't previously seen for it. Like people like I feel like I introduced, I mean, it can't be that many people, but especially people that follow me, like the younger generation,
Yeah.
they probably never seen Renard Johnson, never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly.
So like,
And I think that's why it's important to have a space like this that's in between pop culture that you can transfer that journalistic like knowledge to. Yeah, so that was huge. I saw that. And then you have other like influential people. I saw Johnny Escalante. You had Brian, who I love. Like
Brian's
you
dope.
had awesome people. Yeah, it's
Yeah, I
huge.
try. Like I'm open to so many different people. And I just feel like it's allowed me more than anything, even just having them on the podcast, it's
Yeah.
allowed me to just network with so many different
Yeah,
people.
true.
And the amount of like just the amount of doors it's opened for me, especially back home. Here it's a little different. Like I feel like I'm kind of starting from scratch.
You've been here for 4 weeks. Like, you give yourself grace for sure.
Yeah, but no, that it's definitely helped me in ways that I didn't think it was gonna help me. So it's dope.
Why'd you get into this?
Hold on,
So,
let
I'm
me
sorry. Have you ever lost audio on an
Oh,
interview?
100%. The
Oh, yeah.
first podcast I did, and it was like a 2-hour podcast. I completely
No.
lost it. That one was it was good because it was like with my best friend, so it was just
Oh,
like
you're like, okay, let's run it
whatever.
back,
Yeah,
actually.
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. But now it's like I already have a routine. Like I've done it.
No.
This is episode 71, so
Whoa.
that's kind of a lot. Like now that I
That's
think about it,
huge. How
yeah.
many years?
So I would say I started in 2023, like March. So actually, it's coming. It's about to be like 2 years, but I didn't really start like going like being consistent with it
Yeah.
until like 2024, I would say. Like I think I maybe released like 20 episodes the first year, and then the second year got up to 60. So I almost doubled it the second year.
Whoa.
And then hopefully this year, I mean, I can just continue to build, but
I mean, were you nervous because you built your brand in El Paso, interviewing influential El Paso people to move to Austin? Was that nerve-wracking for you?
for sure. I mean, yeah, that was it was kind of like a how do I say it? What's the word? Kind of like a, oh my God, I'm going blank right now. Anyways, it was kind of like a good thing and a bad thing because
Bittersweet.
yes,
Yeah.
bittersweet. Because I knew that coming out here, it was going to provide me with more opportunity to just meet a more variety of people. Because first of all, the tourism aspect, like people are always in and out.
Yeah.
Also, like some of the biggest podcasters out, like in the world, living here in Austin.
Wow.
So just that, just being surrounded by that and the motivation that comes from that is definitely a plus. But I knew that me not knowing, me not having the same network as I do in El Paso, it was going to be kind of like starting over again. But like what I tell people all the time, because they were kind of, they would ask me the same things like, oh, you have like such a good thing here in El Paso. Like going to Austin, like why kind of are you going down that route? And it was just more so like, dude, like if I did that in El Paso, the way it worked is I started with my friends and family and it slowly branched out to that. You know, they introduced me to people, those people introduced me to people, and before you know it, I'm interviewing like Renard Johnson, you know.
Yeah,
So like
huge.
it's literally the same thing here. It's just about being consistent and not being, you know, not being too scared to take that risk, you
Yeah.
know?
And this is what you want to do. This is your dream, podcasting.
I would say like this is the ultimate dream.
Yeah.
It's and it's I feel like it spans way much further than just the show. Like in my head, I have so much more visions and ideas
Yeah.
that we could probably talk about at some point. But for sure, like the most vulnerable player and what it stands for is for sure things I want to get like, and then my personal brand as a whole, like I don't know, I just feel in the most humble way possible, I do feel like I can offer something to the world and something to like the people that follow me.
Yeah. So and you don't have to be humble about it. I mean, you're talented. You've already gotten your feet wet. You've made a name for yourself. Like, you can brag. You know, this is a safe space. Like, yeah, you can be proud of yourself.
That's always just been who I am. Like, definitely who I am. And I love it too. Like, if anybody that tells you or anybody that knows me will tell you, this is all I think about and all I, mm-hmm. all I talk, not all I talk about, because that can get kind of annoying, but it's constantly in the back of my head. Yeah. And I'm constantly figuring out different ways I can improve and different things I can be doing.
Yeah.
Like today, for example, by the time it comes out, the other thing that I'm going to tell you about will probably already be out. But like today I want to go out just like downtown, especially because it's South by Southwest.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my camera and I just want to do like small little like just random interviews with randoms, but keep it based on like very vulnerable questions like this.
Yes.
So I know some of them will be like kind of awkward and weird, but I know I'm going to hit like some very deep answers.
Yeah.
Of people telling me like some of the hardest things that they've been through, just really quick interviews. But
well, I think at South by you'll get a lot of in-depth answers, especially today, because there's a lot of interesting panelists today. Yeah. Michelle Obama is there today.
For real?
Yeah. No, so I think the people that you meet in line are going to be naturally. What's your fascination with vulnerability?
Okay. By the way, this has turned into to the Abby Velez podcast.
No, I'm sorry.
No. And I mean that in the best way possible, because like you are such a natural, and I love it because I love being interviewed too. Like I've been a fan
of the show. Yeah. I've really enjoyed your podcasts. I've enjoyed what you posted on Instagram. So I've already had this natural curiosity of wanting to know what inspired you. So sorry.
No, that's amazing. I love it. One day like my gears are turning. MVP will just be the umbrella of a multitude of different like shows, and we'll have hopefully if you will be on at the point where this is big enough, we'll have the Abby Velez show and you can talk about everything that you've been wanting to talk about like into your life. But what was the question again?
Vulnerability. Yeah.
Oh, okay. For sure, just my experiences when it comes to mental health.
Yeah.
I would say the years like leading up to doing the podcast were very tough for me. And I guess for a man especially, like we don't really talk about those things. Mm-hmm. However, like me talking about it, I think that allowed me to connect with people in a way that I don't think would have been possible if I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with panic attacks and anxiety, and I was very vocal about that just because I don't know. I just felt like it was the most liberating thing to do because it's who I am at the mm-hmm. end of the day. Like I can't imagine like me being myself and not sharing that because it's such a big part of who I am and the way I am. So I think once I came around to doing the podcast, it was right after a very like one of the toughest moments of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird how it worked out. But I mean, I think that's the main theme of the show, because people come on here and tell some of like the hardest things that they've ever had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people hear vulnerable, they think kind of like a negative sometimes. Yeah. But I think one of the main things I want to do with the show, I want to turn that around, because I think it's the most powerful thing you can do is come out here and be vulnerable.
Yeah, it's inspiring for you to be a young trailblazer for men, because like you said, when you think of vulnerability, you associate it with weakness. And for you to be a pillar of inspiration and overcoming for young men that may have been in your position once, I think is so necessary at this time. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that men struggle with mental health. You know, mm-hmm. my husband has as well. And how beautiful of it a thing for you to be have raised in a household where you can vocalize that, because a lot of men have been shamed to stay silent. So what a beautiful thing that you're doing, creating a space for men to talk about how they feel.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It's beautiful.
And I think that's one of the main things. That was one of my main goals. And I love it because it even goes further than that, because I know people love to hear about the other things, you know, because mental health spans much more than just it spans much more than just anxiety and panic attacks. It's in relationships, it's in dating, it's in business, it's in so many different things. So like, there's just so many things that like I've been able to tap into when it comes to mental health that people can relate to, you know. And I've enjoyed this. It's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done, for sure.
That's
so
beautiful.
Yeah, but with that, this is episode 71 of The Most Vulnerable Player. We're sitting down with Abigail Velez. So you are, I'm trying to just give a brief background, and if correct me wherever I'm wrong, but you are from El Paso. Were you born and raised?
Born and raised in El Paso, Texas.
Born and raised in El Paso, Texas. You went to school in San Antonio?
College in San... Well, I did EPCC UTEP.
Okay.
And then EPCC, went to San Antonio. Incarnate Word.
All right. And now, just kind of fast forward, you right now you work for CBS Austin. How long have you been doing that for?
About 2 years with CBS Austin.
Oh, wow. So you've been out here for a good minute.
Yeah, I have. Austin already feels like home to me. Yeah. And I'm rounding out my contract with CBS Austin, which means I'll probably be leaving Austin at some point at the end of the year. But it's been fabulous so far.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what's your official title like at CBS Austin?
So I'm a reporter for CBS Austin. Everyone is different based on what you see for yourself long term. I would like to be at the network level, which means I'd like to work for a national news broadcast, whether that be CBS, NBC, CNN, whichever. So I want to be in New York, Washington, D.C. one day. So I've been on this path of 2 year contracts until I can reach that level.
Got you.
So now my 2 year contract in Austin is expiring. And so it's time to look for the next thing.
Yeah. Did you ever work in El Paso?
Funny. Yeah. I wanted to work in El Paso. So my dream, I've always known that I wanted to be a reporter. I've always known that I wanted to be a journalist. That was easy. But at first, my dream was I want to be on KVIA. I want to be the 5 and 10 p.m. anchor. Yeah, I'm going to be Stephanie Vyatt. That was the dream.
Yeah.
And that was because, so my whole family watches the news. I want my family to see me on TV reporting the news, talking about stories that happen in our neighborhood. Yeah. Like, I want my grandma to watch the news and be like, that's my neighbor. But as these things happen, I met my husband, and my husband was like, dream bigger. Like, you have so much talent, dream bigger.
Yeah.
And that inspired me to then do so. And now I'm like, I want to be on the network. But there was a time in my career where I was applying for jobs in El Paso, because you have to start small. You have to start in a small town. And I was getting ready to leave this small town in North Carolina. And I was like, well, I want to work in El Paso now. I did not get hired in El Paso. It's crazy, because I applied to every job that you could think of in every Texas town. And El Paso didn't want me, which was devastating.
Yeah.
But San Antonio and Austin did. And I ended up choosing Austin. And that's how I'm a reporter for CBS Austin.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, failing upwards.
Yeah. What the hell, El Paso?
I know. Are you serious?
We got our homegrown all-star reporter here. And it's all good.
I was devastated.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. And credit to and flowers to like your husband, because his Keenan, right?
Yeah.
I kind of not grew up, because I think I was already like, maybe, I don't know, when was he at in El Paso reporting?
Like 2018 to 2020.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, that seems, that name is just, I feel like, very well known in El Paso, and just through, just seeing him on the news and stuff, and that's badass. I think it seems like he's doing very well too. So yeah, he's in Dallas, right?
Yeah, he's in Dallas. That makes me so happy, because he didn't like journalism. He wasn't like me. I knew that journalism is a thing. I've loved reporting. This was for me. He was like, I just need to get a job.
Yeah.
And he ended up reporting in El Paso, and we're born and raised, right? Mm-hmm. Like you and I. So I take natural offense when people talk bad about El Paso. Mm-hmm. Those are fighting words. And so Keenan, when we had first met, he was learning the city, and I was like, if you don't like it, don't tell me because that's not, because we'll fight. Yeah.
So where was he originally from again? I'm sorry.
He's from North Carolina.
Okay, yeah.
So it was culture shock for him, really. And he ended up in El Paso. And like most people, when they're put into a culture shock situation, they're not accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Keenan ended up loving El Paso so much that he learned Spanish. He's now fluent in Spanish.
Wow.
He has an El Paso tattoo.
That's sick.
He, I mean, he loves El Paso, hard. It's hard not to fall in love with the city. Really is.
Yeah, that's so. You met him in North Carolina when you were out there?
No, he was a reporter in El Paso, I saw him on TV.
Got you.
And I was like, "That's baby
boy.
That's baby boy.
That's so fire."
Yeah, and I had to slide into his DMs because I was like, "I'm your future wife. Take me on a date."
Oh, so you actually like DM them that?
For 3 months. Wow. And you know what's actually crazy? A restraining order should have been issued because I would post on Facebook, which is like my public diary. Yeah. On Facebook, I would post, if you know Keenan Willard, get me a date with this guy. Because I knew some people who worked at K-Fox. And I was like, please get me a date with Keenan Willard. Like he does not know what's in store for him. And everyone would laugh. And finally, our paths ended up crossing. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, wait a second. I was wrong. And he was just different. He was from North Carolina. He was shy. And I broke him out of his shell. And then he didn't stop talking to me after that. And that was it. Now I have a husband. But shoot your shot. Like,
Like you were very bold up front, which I love.
I mean, I had nothing to lose. Like, you know, in El Paso, it's like...
And dude's a handsome guy, dude. Holy shit. Yeah, like... That's like
hilarious
for sure. And that's your husband now, so it's I feel like it's good to say, it's okay to say now, but I'm sure he had DMs going crazy.
You know what's crazy is that when I was posting on Facebook, like my friends would be like, I'm gonna get to him first, like it would, like funny because no one ever expected this to happen. So now it's a joke. It's like, you want my man. You want him. But and little did I know that this was like God's plan. Like, little did I know that this was like beautiful.
For sure.
And I got married really young. And at first, and you know what's funny is when I was growing up, I was like, if you get married young, I'm concerned, like something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I got married young. And at first I used to be kind of ashamed, or maybe not ashamed, but I was kind of nervous about it.
Yeah.
And now that I grow older and me and Keenan continue to get stronger in our relationship, it's like, God, how lucky am I to have found this so early? Because I know some people will look and look, and it's difficult to find someone who will love you for your uglies and your beautifuls.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jesus, that I was able to find this in Keenan. Like, it hasn't always been easy. You know, we've struggled. It's been like 6 years, but thank you, God, that everything's working out.
Yeah, so that's far. Amazing. That gives me hope, man.
And you should. I mean, I was brought up in a broken home.
Yeah.
And my parents, you know, were divorced. They love each other, but they were divorced, and that was so difficult. Mm. And so my biggest concern was, I don't want to get married just to get divorced and bring children up in a broken home like I was brought up, because that was so stressful to me as a child. And it kind of confused my idea of love. Mm-hmm. And Keenan was able to teach me unconditional love and to take those fears away. So thank you, God, that was what was meant to be. But that was my main concern. So you, one, need to have hope. Two, shoot your shot.
Yeah,
right. Don't be nervous. Shoot your shot.
I definitely, I used to be, and I still kind of am, such a shy person. Now, not so much. Like, I feel like I've definitely broken out of that, but... I feel like I could definitely take a lot more shots. Cause I mean, that just you hearing your story and like you really got, especially being out here in Austin, you have nothing to lose. Cause you might never see that person again.
Well,
you know,
that's true. In El Paso, my thing was, first of all, I didn't know this man. This man did not know me. Like, I have nothing to lose. And I knew everyone was DMing him, like, whatever, what do I have to lose? But also in El Paso, that was a time where I was like, whatever, because I'm in my head, I'm like, nobody likes me anyways. Whatever. Yeah. Like, and that was so liberating at that, like in 2019, that I was like, high school was so bad. Nobody liked me anyways. So I was just kind of like,
when you say that, like, why, what do you feel like the reason was?
Don't play. So I obviously had a very tough time in high school.
Okay.
So I went to Canotillo High School for the first 3 years of high school. And then I transferred to Coronado. As many people know, I transferred because I was cyberbullied, not just by Canotillo, probably the entire city of El Paso. And then I had to transfer to Coronado. That whole thing was such a dark spot. And if I were to explain the whole story, we'd be here for 3 hours. But long story short, it just kind of proved to me how rumors based out of hate can completely change the trajectory of your life.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe that I was in that position again, because I was supposed to go to El Paso High.
initially coming out of middle, the story's like, so whatever. I was supposed to go to El Paso High coming out of middle school. I had a big friendship breakup. It was terrible. It was heartbreaking. And at that time, that was my world. And
was
I said,
it just like drama, just,
it was just my best friend forever, who was my BFF. And, it was that transitional period where you go to high school and you have new friends. Yeah. And I was left out of that. And I thought, you know what, this is a good opportunity to branch out. So I'm going to go to Canutillo. So I go to Canutillo and I have my high school sweetheart who, unbeknownst to me, was dating other women at the time. And that's how that jealousy, that craziness had started. And I was young, you know what I mean? So I was like, that's my man and I'll fight you for it, whatever. And it's Canutillo, hello. Yeah. So anyways, it was that. And I just created a lot of enemies that way with that high school sweetheart, which is such a major regret. If I could do it all over again, God's plan is true. And I learned a lot from that first relationship with my high school sweetheart. But if I could do it all over again, I would not have dated. I just would have had a good time and made friends. But that's not what happened. So I created enemies. I get bullied out of Canutillo and I go to Coronado. At Coronado, my reputation had already preceded me. You know, I didn't already have friends and I was already set up to fail to begin with. But I was a cheerleader at Coronado, and that was a difficult step. There was this one game where we played Cathedral, and all of the Cathedral fans, like the boys, were chanting at me, like bullying me.
What the?
Yeah, and that's how it is. You know what I mean? And it wasn't so, it was devastating, of course, because not only are the rumors completely baseless, and the thing is I had proved that the rumors were baseless, but once something takes off on social media, it's done for. It's taken off. But when that had happened, Coronado kind of rallied behind me. Like, I was like, wait a second. Like, everyone at Coronado was defending me. And I was like, wow, I think I've found a support system here where I hadn't really had found it. But at that time, I was already on the defense. And I was like, oh, my reputation's shot to hell anyways. Might as well just... And it was actually really liberating to just be like, do whatever I want, talk to whoever I want, live however I want, because I feel like nobody likes me anyways. And I think that was the journey into finding who I am. And that was the confidence journey, because now I tell everyone confidence is the backbone of who you are. Because once I had gained that confidence, I was like, whatever, I don't care. Like, tweet whatever you want, I don't care. And that set me up for now, because now as a journalist, when someone says something ugly to you on social media about this story or whatever, it kind of rolls off your back because you're like, look, I got bullied out of two high schools, girl. Like, you're not going to hurt me.
I don't think you know who this is.
Yeah. I don't think you've really seen a bad day. Like,
that would seem, I'm sure you had some tough times then though.
Oh my God. It was devastating. I mean, I was put on suicide watch. Not that that was a possibility then, but I was put on suicide watch. I didn't have my phone for a very long time, so I didn't know what was happening on social media. Like, it was bad once I was able to get my phone back, but at the time I didn't really know because I didn't have my phone. And so everyone was so concerned about me. I remember my friends were pulling up to my house and like, is Abby okay? And I was like, what is going on? Like, how bad is it? And my mom was sheltering me from that. But I think the big, like the most hurtful thing about that is that it was my mom who was most affected, because yeah, that's hurtful to me, whatever. But reading these things about your child, I'm sure is 10 times more difficult. On top of that, we were getting our houses egged like every Friday.
Oh my God. So it was like a legit freaking issue, and not just like it was a legit issue. And just so like for context,
long story short, a rumor had spread that I was hazing junior varsity girls on our cheerleading team. And making them do inappropriate things. Everyone that was on that cheer, like everyone that knows me, knows that that was completely false, and it was a fabricated lie based on someone who doesn't, who never liked me. It was one of those boyfriend situations where this rumor was created out of hate and almost out of something funny as a joke to be rude, and it took off. And I don't think that person expected it to take off. I sure as hell did not expect it to take off. But the crazy thing is they were talking about something that happened like in December, and the rumor came out like in March. Like it was really messy, really random. Anyways, the rumor was born that I was hazing. And it turned into a whole investigation that came out of nothing. Like nothing ended up happening mm-hmm. because that was not true.
Yeah.
But it was already on social media. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter if Ganotillo High School was like, you guys, she didn't do anything. If they still let me cheer, it didn't matter
yeah.
because it was already taken off on social media. So, yeah. you know, what could I do? You could defend yourself a billion times, but what people believe is what people believe.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, it took off and I got bullied and I couldn't really defend myself. Thank you God TikTok was not around. Thank you God. And it was only Twitter. But I couldn't defend myself because there's so many people and there was so much hate. And you know what's crazy is that I remember the tweets and I remember everyone that tweeted. Mm. And now they'll message me or a few years later, they're like, hey, I hope you're doing well. Can you promote my brand?
Oh my God.
Hey, I hope you're doing well. Can I do your eyelashes?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you dirty dog. Like I remember all of that.
And so you said you wanted to be like a reporter yeah. like your entire life?
Oh, my whole life.
Yeah. And what where did that like stem from?
I think I'm naturally curious and I have this inclination to always ask questions and learn more about people. And I have people skills, so I'm able to connect with people really easily.
Yeah.
And
so that's always been you.
I'm not sure why. It's always been me. Like the type of person when you're checking out at the register and you're talking to the person checking you out and then you're like, wait, do you have a Snapchat? Like it's just always been me to talk and to want to know more. And then I have a heart of service. I like helping people. Like it makes me feel fulfilled to make other people feel seen and validated and heard. And that all comes with journalism. The only thing was that I didn't have the look and I couldn't public speak and I didn't know how to write. Like there was a lot of things missing. And that's kind of how pageants helped me. My mom put me in pageants to help with my confidence. That was that's really needed a lot of work. But in the process, we also learned that it could help my public speaking and it could help my posture, the way I present myself. And that set me up for reporting.
Yeah.
And so pageants have always been a booster to help me into my career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pageant world is very...
Oh, she's brutal.
It's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, she's cutthroat. And I love it.
Yeah. And so how old were you when you started that?
I was 16 and high school sweetheart broke my heart. And my mom was like, we need to help her. We need to get this girl going. So she cut my hair. She got me in a pageant 2 weeks before the pageant happened. And by the grace of God, I won. And I couldn't stop after that. After that, you get bit by the pageant bug.
Yeah.
And I'm so competitive. I love winning. I'm so competitive. I hate losing. And after that, I just couldn't stop. And I did miss San Antonio. But the reason I did miss San Antonio was because I was so lonely. Mm. I was so lonely in San Antonio. I did not have a will to live. Like I just didn't have a community. I didn't have a sense of self. Mm-hmm. And I thought if I become Miss San Antonio, that'll open so many doors for me to meet people and to help the community and to go to appearances and volunteer. It'll fix everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why I competed. Thank you God I won.
Mm-hmm. And did it?
Miss San Antonio was such a rewarding year.
Yeah.
But 2022 was the most difficult year of my life. That includes when I got cyberbullied out of two high schools. 2022 is the most difficult year of my life. I'm a first gen. My entire family is in El Paso. Mm-hmm. I'm the only transplant that's not. That was difficult enough because I already feel this guilt of not being with my family, of my niece growing up without me there, of my grandma, you know, having a birthday and me not being able to spend that. So it's already difficult. That guilt already eats me. But I was by myself in San Antonio working four jobs to afford rent and my tuition because I didn't want my parents to take on another financial burden because they have an ambitious daughter. Yeah. I thought if I'm going to be the first in my family to leave school, I'm going to be the first to be responsible about it.
Yeah.
So I had to work four jobs.
Jeez.
And when I wanted to do Miss San Antonio, I knew, hey, I'm going to have to quit. I'm not going to be able to work. And I don't think I fully understood, what are you going to do for income? Like, I didn't really think about that. And because I just wanted to win so bad because I needed a will to live. And so I win Miss San Antonio. I have to quit my jobs. I don't have an income. And now I'm on the brink of eviction in San Antonio where I'm Miss San Antonio. And I'm faced with these financial burdens of I can't afford rent. And I still have to go to Miss Texas and buy an $1,000 evening gown and get hair and makeup for hundreds of dollars and get a plane ticket to Houston. Like I just took on this extra burden financially that I wasn't prepared for, even though I think character wise, I was ready to be Miss San Antonio, but I was not ready for that financial burden.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely something relatable. Cause I mean, I'm blessed to be in a position I'm in, mm-hmm. Where I am okay, but for sure, like being on my own for the first time out here in Austin, and it's so much more expensive out here.
Right.
It's definitely a stress that I'm not used to.
And I think a lot of us aren't. Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to have so fun, whatever. And that's true. But it's the sense of responsibility of like, now I have to provide for myself. Mm-hmm. Now I understand why my parents were so stressed out.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I had to pay tuition and I had to graduate. Like, I had to be Miss San Antonio, but I also had to have money to afford the rest of my life. And I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so 2022, because of that financial predicament I was in, and because I was living a double life. I would go out to an appearance as Miss San Antonio and I would take pictures and talk about empowerment and confidence. And then I would come home to this apartment I'm getting evicted out of by myself with my cat and think, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
And that was a time where I was reaching out for mental health support. And I was really trying to get my university to help me with mental health support in a way that was financially accessible to me, because I couldn't afford to go and get a psychiatrist. I couldn't afford to get dinner. Mm. So I'm trying to get mental health support through my university or through free resources. I'm calling hotlines and nobody could offer me mental health support. And I thought, if I'm Miss San Antonio and nobody can help me from suicidal ideation and my depression, how are other people getting resources? And it was devastating. Because I reached out so many times to so many people saying, I'm not doing good. I can't do this. I'm not doing good. Mm-hmm. And it was so difficult to get help that finally I thought, I don't want to burden my parents, but they knew. They're like, Abby's not in a good spot.
Yeah.
And had my parents not, because they pulled me out of San Antonio. They said, we know, Miss San Antonio, you're coming back to El Paso. Mm-hmm. Had my parents and my sister and Keenan not taking me out of San Antonio to go live back home for a little while, I'm not sure I would have survived that, because it was so isolating and depressing. And I did not see a way out of that pressure, And I just felt like I had to be someone and I had to reach these milestones and I wasn't. And I was failing everyone was what I was thinking.
What do you feel like is the main driving source behind those like ambitions, and like at your core level, why do you feel like you have to like do these things that you set out for yourself?
It's not a negative thing. Mm-hmm. I want to make my parents proud. That's the baseline, the foundation. I want to make my parents proud because they have sacrificed so much. My parents and my sister have sacrificed so much for me to be successful. And I feel like if I don't reach that success, if I don't reach that level of achievement, that I'm failing them. Do I think they'll be disappointed? No, I think they're already proud of me and I know they are. But I think for them, I want to succeed for them. I want to be great for them. And in the process, I've created these standards for myself where I don't feel comfortable with settling anymore. And I had that dream to be an anchor at KVIA for the rest of my life. But once I started seeing the bigger picture, I thought, wait, I think I can do more. I think I can do that. And there's nothing wrong with staying at KVIA. I would love to do that, right? But I kind of thought, why not dream bigger? And this all sprouted from making my parents proud.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be negative where I feel like, ugh, like I'm failing everybody.
Yeah.
But now it's turned into a healthy thing where it's like, I can do more. I can be better. I can achieve that thing because I have that mindset of I am able.
Do you ever feel like when you're, when you achieve something, cause you're a very like ambitious person, is it ever, do you have a hard time like just already like trying to figure out what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in that position right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a reporter for a top 30 market forever. And now I'm doing that. I'm a reporter here in Austin and I'm covering things at the Capitol and breaking news and everything that happens in Austin. And now it's like, well, I have a few months left.
Yeah.
Now what? And that's the difficult thing, is that I don't know what the future holds. That's what's so difficult, especially when it comes to my marriage. And I'm a planner. I've known what my life is going to look like since I was 12 years old. Like, I know what the future holds for me, or at least I try to. So it's difficult when people ask me, oh, what's the next step? Where are you looking?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know, because there's so many options and I have to line up with Keenan and I don't know what Keenan's going to do. So everything's kind of in limbo.
For sure.
And that's a really difficult process.
Is it hard? I would imagine it's hard being away from, like, your husband.
And everyone asks me about that. Like, why would you get married knowing that you're going to be long distance with your husband? The truth is that when I was graduating school and Keenan was working in North Carolina, he said, oh, well, great, you can come and live with me in North Carolina and you can work at your first station and I'll be working at my new station. And I was like, that seems like a lot of work for a boyfriend. Mm. That's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work for a boyfriend with no promise.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to play house. And I came from a very strict household where my parents said, you're not going to live with a man unless there's a promise there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you better recognize. And he proposed. And so I said, okay, bye, I'm out of here.
There's your promise.
So I said, okay. And I moved to North Carolina. And 6 months later, Keenan said, I have the best opportunity in Dallas and we have to go back to Texas, which was irritating for me.
Were you in a contract with your current?
Yes. Okay. I had to break a contract, which is expensive and it tarnishes your professional reputation because you don't hold a promise that you make.
Yeah.
And I really did not want to do that. And I told him, you realize what a bad position you're putting me in, right? Because I just moved from Central Texas to North Carolina to be with you. And 6 months later, you're having me move back to Central Texas. Mm. And he was like, I know, I'm so sorry, but it's an opportunity I can't pass up. I naturally, because of my ambition and because of my drive and focus, tend to be very selfish. Mm. And it's very much about me, me, me. But what about my dreams? But what about my aspirations? And that was a time where I had to think, this is a very good opportunity for Keenan, and this is about his dream. So let me sacrifice this. Mm. Little did I know I'd be working in Austin. It really wasn't that much of a sacrifice. Yeah. It ended up being good for me too.
Sure.
So I was grateful for that. And I've ended up making a name for myself here. I feel like I've done great work here. So it ended up working out well.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so when you kind of talk about, like, those dark times in your life, what do you feel when it, I'm sure there's, like, a couple different moments, but when you think about the main moment that just very heavily influenced the person you are today, where you can think back on that time, like, all the time, whether it's for motivation or even just for, it's just something that's definitely just always in the back of your head at some point. What is that moment for you?
Yeah. Well, my entire life, I've struggled with high-functioning depression. I'm pretty sure it's probably genetic. And like many of us, we suffer from different mental illnesses. And so my whole life, I've been treated for that. But the moment that I revert back to, the lowest of my low, was in March of 2022 or April of 2022. And that was when I was freshly Miss San Antonio, freshly going to be evicted from my apartment. And I had just got into a fight with my parents because they said, you're not doing well. You need help. You need financial help. And I said, no, I don't want to burden you guys like that because you guys are already needing financial help. And I don't want you to feel like, great, now we have to help Abby because she wanted to go and pursue her dreams of Miss San Antonio. So now we have to help her. And I didn't want them to feel burdened by my ambition. And they got upset with me. And we got into this big fight, my parents and I, and I think in addition to that dark feelingness of loneliness and of failing my parents and of being Miss San Antonio, but not having a place to live and not having mental health support, that it just, everything, my world collapsed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not going to survive this. And I think my family and Keenan recognized that that was a very dark place for me and they didn't trust what would come next for me. And they didn't trust my ability to make judgments in that moment, which is completely right. I was not in a right state of mind because when you're so severely lonely like I was when I was in San Antonio, it feels like you don't have anyone. Of course I had a support system, like my parents and Keenan and my sister supporting me and making sure that I wasn't going to do anything stupid. But at that moment, I was physically by myself and I had never felt worse because I couldn't believe that I had sacrificed everything for a crown, which was so, thank you God that that happened. But I can't believe that I sacrificed everything for a crown. I chose the crown over my apartment. You know what? Like, I chose the crown over having stability. And I felt like I just didn't have help and I didn't want to burden anyone. So I just, that was the worst moment ever.
Yeah.
There's been that time I reflect back on laying on my bathroom floor thinking, this is it for me. I don't want to try anymore. I'm going to give up. I've gone through a lot of tough stuff and this one is it. This one's going to take me out. I'm not going to survive it. I think about that moment and how I survived that. And now it's like, whenever I go through something, it's not as bad as that moment was. So now when I'm like, ugh, things, like when I feel myself getting back to rock bottom, I'm like, well, nothing will be as bad as that moment. Yeah. And I survived that so I can go through other tough shit.
That's so crazy you say that, because I literally, I tell that to myself all the time. Like, because I have, though, that moment as well, that you, like, you on the restroom floor, I feel like people who have gone through like really tough things, which so many people do, I think back to like my own moment, and when I think about like the tough things I have to overcome, and whenever I feel like my anxiety getting worse and kind of coming back, it's like, no, I went through some really, I went through probably the hardest thing that I'm ever gonna have to go through. And if I can get through that, I can get through anything. I can go talk to this person I want on my podcast. Like, I can do that. Cause dude, like what I went through was so hard. And so I just relate to that, like on a very,
Isn't that such a liberating feeling? I have already struggled and suffered. So now how much worse can it be? And it really allows you to take that next step forward and to kind of be invincible. Like, well, I've already suffered enough. You know, what else do I have to lose? And that's kind of been the story of my life. Like, well, I already did that and messed that up. So what next? And it's kind of, it's like learning lessons. And I call it failing upwards. I have learned to gracefully master the art of failing upwards. KVIA didn't hire me, but hey, CBS Austin did hire me. Like, Canotillo bullied me out, but hey, Coronado was awesome. And like, it's just, I've failed upwards. You know, I couldn't work in North Carolina. It's just, everything ends up working out. Thank God. And I think it's because I have insane faith and manifestation. Like, big
for
time.
For sure. So when you talk about like, what does manifestation look for you like then? Cause I feel like we throw that a word around, but is it something like you actively do?
Big time. So when I was competing for Miss San Antonio, I obviously was like, this is everything to me. And I was like, this is going to fix everything, but it's only going to work if I really put 110% into it. And I looked at the other girls I was competing against and I thought, oh God, beautiful, tall, blonde, gorgeous, money. Everything that I didn't have. I'm not tall. I'm not blonde. I don't have money. So, you know, like I'm already at a disadvantage. But I was like, this is going to be tough. But I did not allow myself to think about the possibility of losing. I just didn't even go there. I was like, I'm going to prepare as if I've won already. I'm going to act as if I'm Miss San Antonio. And I'm going to blindly pursue this dream as if I've already accomplished it. So every night, I'm going to sleep as Miss San Antonio. So seriously that I would literally think about touching the crown and sash. Like I could literally feel it on myself. And then it happened. And I kind of do that now, or I think I subconsciously do it now in everything that I do. When I was working in North Carolina and I wanted to be in a bigger station and work bigger stories, I kind of did that too. I was like, I'm going to show up to work today and act like I'm a network correspondent and work my butt off to prove my worth, you know, show up for the job that you want, not the job that you have. And it ended up working out. And, but I think I trust it blindly. And I go back to the Bible. It says, you know, pray for it, believe that you received it and it'll be yours. And that has been the backbone of my life. I really believe that great things are going to happen for me. So why should I doubt if if I already feel so strongly that I'm set up for success. Kenan's the same way. Kenan's like, I'm going to be on national TV. Like, he's even more so than I, because we don't even want to think about the possibility of failing, because you don't want to set yourself up for that. Like, the what you say and what you think manifests into the energy around you. And if every day you're like, I'm not going to succeed. I'm going to fail. It's not going to work out for me. Well, that's going to be the outcome.
Yeah.
Because words have so much power, so much power. And so I'm trying to be better about saying success only, great things for me only, because I've seen the power of manifestation. I know how serious it can be. So in your position, I would be like, yep, I'm coming for the world, and I'm going to interview everyone that I want to, because slowly but surely you'll see the difference that it makes in your life. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's very inspiring, because that's a position I'm in. And I think for me, because I feel like sometimes I struggle with my self-talk. At the same time, I'm very ambitious. Like, that's all I think about.
Yeah.
And it's not the most healthy thing sometimes, but like, I know it's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I think about the things I want to do and the places I want to be at, it's like I can't picture an alternative.
Exactly.
So it's
that's a good thing. And I think you were in a similar position where we love El Paso, and that's a beautiful spot to be in. And for a lot of people, that works out for them. But for us in our career, we had to move out to move up. Mm-hmm. That's just what had to happen. And El Paso, I'm like, I'll tat it El Paso. Like, it's everything to me. I love my home. But in order for us to succeed and what we have in store for us and what we have envisioned for our futures, we had to leave El Paso. Because how else are you going to interview the president if you didn't leave El Paso? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just important, I think, to only think of positive things.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You're getting me fired up here, Abby.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah.
When like you're out there reporting, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that comes with its own like kind of mental burdens as well. Okay. 'Cause I'm sure you cover some really dark things.
Yeah.
So kind of take me through that. Like, just to give context, what's probably the hardest thing you've had to cover in your career?
I've covered a lot of tough topics. Yeah. Most recently, we've covered family separation due to deportations with the new Trump administration. But I think the most difficult story that I've had to cover is when I was working overnight. I was a morning reporter with CBS Austin, and this guy had gone on a shooting rampage. And he shot and killed his parents in San Antonio, and a bunch of other random people came to Austin, shot and killed a bunch of random other people. But what was so difficult about that story is I'm sitting maybe a few feet away from a front door of a house, and they have their Christmas decorations up. They have the kitchen light still on. The Christmas lights are sparkling, and it's a beautiful home. It looks welcoming. They have the cars there. And two people were just grisly murdered in there.
Jeez.
Yeah. And it was a mother and a daughter. The mother and daughter were my mom and my sister's age. And at the time, my mom and my sister were living together. And I always make fun of them for how paranoid they are, because they will lock every lock in the house, like have a bat by the door. They're so paranoid. I'm like, you guys, who is going to come? You know, I'm on my way home. Unlock the door.
Yeah.
And I get irritated, but I'm standing outside of this front door, and I'm thinking to myself, how devastating that these people did not know what was coming for them.
Yeah.
We're days away from Christmas. They have their decorations out. It looks like a loving home, and they were just grisly murdered.
Yeah.
And that took me a second, because you're not supposed to do this as a reporter. You're not supposed to relate it to your life, because that's how it affects you. You want to stay disconnected. I'm reporting the news. I'm reporting the facts. I don't want to relate it to me. But I made the mistake of thinking that could have been my mom and my sister. And I'm standing there at 5 a.m. and I was like, I can't go on TV. You know, I had to go on TV. That's my job. But it was devastating. And it stuck with me for a long time, because it shows you that random acts of violence, no one is immune to that. You never know. You never know when it's going to hit you, when it could happen. And I feel like the world becomes increasingly more violent. And I feel like that because I can't disconnect from the news. So when you or your friend want to turn off your social media, delete Instagram, you don't want to look at Twitter, you don't want to know what's going on, you can take that disconnect and you can take that break and take time for your mental health. I don't have that opportunity. I have to be on social media. I have to be on Twitter, which has caused me enough drama, but I have to be on Twitter. Like, I have to know what's going on, because it's part of my job. And I signed up for this. This comes with the sport, I know. But I think what's so difficult now is the state of the world feels so dark, and it feels like there's so many people that are suffering. There's so many bad things that are happening, and I want to take a break and I can't. Mm. That's difficult, but I signed up for this and I wanted this. So I'm taking on that burden, mm-hmm. but that's difficult.
So what do you do to keep your sanity?
I'm in therapy.
Okay.
I do therapy.
That's amazing.
I sleep a lot and, I'll cry about it to my husband. I'll cry about it to my mom and to my husband. I'll do a difficult story and I'll cry and I'll say, I can't believe people are suffering like this. It's so devastating that people are suffering like this. And I think a lot of time reporters get the heat. They're like, why are you shoving a camera and a microphone in mm-hmm. somebody's face when they're having the worst day of their lives? One, we have consent to do that. We have already asked, are you okay if we record this? Are you okay if we get an interview? And they mm-hmm. say yes. Two, because people deserve to know. People deserve to know the consequences that come with actions. People deserve to know the bad things that happen to people as a result of other people's actions. Mm-hmm. And that's my job, to show this is the truth. It's ugly, but this is what happens. But sometimes we tell good stories too. This is the truth. I hope it makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's great to be a vessel of that message.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gets hard. I think this has been a very difficult time for me.
Do you ever feel like constrained by not being able to fully share your point of view or personality?
Everyone that knows me, I am, if I have an opinion, it's going to be known. Like if I feel some way, I'm going to say it. I was super politically motivated before I was a journalist, I was a reporter, because my family was that way too. My dad worked on political campaigns. My uncles are politically motivated. Anyways, moral of the story, I've always been politically motivated. So I've always let my opinions be known, which in hindsight was probably not a great idea if I was going to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. Lesson learned. Now, that's a difficult part. I don't have a problem telling a story without a bias. That's not a problem. I can get both sides of the stories. I can report the facts. That's not a problem. My problem is when I feel like I have to let a message be known. When I see something terrible happen and I have an opinion on it and I want to say something, but I can't because you can't do that as a journalist. I recently, and it's become more prevalent, but I've been getting hate messages. Big surprise, but I've been getting hate messages from viewers, from people that just watch the station and will say something like, I hope Trump deports you. You're brown skin, blah, blah, blah. And again, it's like, look, I've been through cyberbullying a time or two. You're not going to hurt me. But why do you feel that you could even talk to me? Like, that's my thing. Like, what made you so bold to message me on your public account with your name and send something so hateful to me? Yeah. Like, where did you get that audacity? People are becoming bold because they don't face consequences.
Yeah.
So they feel like they can tell you anything that they want on the internet. And that's frustrating, that you can't really fight back. You can't defend yourself. Mm. And I'm billionaire. Like, I'm like, what, girl, what?
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
No, I bet. And how do you feel like the landscape is changing with, like, now people like doing the podcast route and you have your local news, and then like obviously it's very different, but how do you feel, like, do you ever see, I just see it's so different. So like, how do you feel like it's changed over the years?
Oh, God.
And what are your thoughts on like this new really this new avenue for news and interviews and just things like that?
Well, we can use FitFam as an example. Even yourself, I think the majority of people in El Paso, to be quite honest to you, will get their information from FitFam.
Yeah.
FitFam, independent journalists like FitFam, because I love FitFam and I consider them to be an independent journalist, they are able to post information quicker than news stations, because news stations, we have to get approval. We have to get it confirmed. We don't want to get sued. Who said this? And it's a lot of a process. FitFam is an independent journalist. And so if they can get it confirmed by one source, post it, it's the truth. Mm. And it's a great way to get information. And FitFam does incredible work. They are incredibly hardworking. Yes, it's funny and they like to shame people.
Do you know the people behind it?
Yes, and they are fabulous. Okay, they are great people. They've helped me a lot. Me and Keenan have a great relationship with FitFam. But anyways, they are incredibly inspiring because what started off as a funny meme page ended up being the number one source of information in El Paso. And it's similar to you when you interviewed the now mayor of El Paso, because someone who's 22 isn't going to turn on K-Fox and see, oh, let's see what Renard Johnson's stance is on rehabilitating parks in El Paso. Yeah. And so they can get their information from you. Is that detrimental to me as a TV journalist? A little bit, yeah. But the great thing that I'm able to provide news stations is that I'm a Gen Zer, so I'm chronically online. Mm-hmm. And I know how to produce content online to masses, to my audience, but also I can do the TV thing. So I think I'm multifaceted in that way, and I'm open to change and I'm available for change. Yeah. And if I got a job at a network and they said, well, you're going to have to be doing TikToks only, you know, I understand, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. For even if TV goes away and there's no TV journalists, I will forever be in this space of wanting to share stories and talk to people and connect with people. This will always be my job.
Yeah, that's awesome. And are you like, are you allowed to, for example, you obviously, you do your job at CBS Austin and wherever else you may go after this. Are you allowed to have like your own, like let's just say podcast and talk about your views, or is that like in your contract, you can't do that?
I think it's, everyone is different.
I'm curious,
yeah, everyone's different. I would never share my views anymore. Whatever happened in the past, whatever 18-year-old Abby did, that's her business. But now as an employed journalist on TV, I will not share my views because it's already an attack on media and journalists.
Yeah.
There's already an attack on fake news and narrative and pushing your bias. And literally 99% of reporters don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's just this rhetoric.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put myself in a position where people are already saying like, we can't trust her. So for some people it's different. I know a lot of reporters will become influencers, which I think is a murky spot. I don't think you can be an influencer and a reporter because girl, like if you're influencing, you have a bias. You know, like it's like, kinda like, I don't think those things go hand in hand, but you know, you do you. Get your bag and we're proud of you. But for me, I just don't want to put myself in a position to get even more hate from the public who's already skeptical about media to begin with.
What's like the work environment of like a station? Have you seen is it Good Morning? The morning show.
The morning on show with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes,
so good.
is it Eddie?
Some drama.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I call my news station the frat house because I work with a bunch of 20-year-old boys.
Really?
I'm like one of the only girls. Like 20-year-old boy, we're all young. Like we're all young, and we're loud.
Yeah.
We scream, we're aggressive, way too many cuss words. Like
wow, okay.
But we are efficient, let me say.
So definitely not what people would expect from like CBS Austin. And not in a bad way, but like
Every news station is different. Okay, like every news station is different. I have a great relationship with all my coworkers. Thank you, God, because I know it could be a different situation. Yeah. My bosses know that we're young and they kiki with us and they understand. But when it's work, it's work.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times when we're in the newsroom, we all trust each other and we can have these conversations and we can joke around. And then when it's time to get serious, it's like, shut up. I have an interview. Be quiet. Yeah. Sit down. And, you know, but I consider them like all my brothers. It's a frat house though. Like it's, and we hang out all the time.
Oh, that's
like
good.
We love each other. I think it's a trauma bond because we all know how difficult this job is. We're like, oh my God, they didn't get an interview with me. Like, oh, me either. Okay, let's go for a drink.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, dude, like it was so stressful today. Like, and we get each other. It's like trauma bonding. Cause this job is hard, girl. Like it's hard. So we get each other.
Yeah, that's dope. For someone who's kind of like, and it doesn't have to be in high school, because I feel like cyberbullying can happen at any point.
Oh, yeah.
What is words of advice for someone who's going through just a time where on social media they might be getting some flack for something or even in general, just like, something that, they're getting some sort of like social media, just hate or whatever. Yeah. What is just advice from your experiences when you're going through that? Like what's advice you'd give them?
I went through severe cyberbullying at a time that was so transformative in my life. That was a time where I was a young teenager and I was still learning about the world around me. I was still very impressionable. And prior to me getting cyberbullied, if someone told me that I looked some type of way, that would affect me for weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, why did they say that? And it would replay in my head. After getting cyberbullied, it kind of allowed me to develop thick skin. But I think if I could redo it, I think I would have done it the same. Mm-hmm. I really think my mom was my saving grace, and my parents completely made the right move by taking away my phone. My sister deactivated all my social medias, deleted everything from my phone, and I was blind. I didn't know. I didn't know what was happening, and I was kept home from school, so I didn't know what was going on. And that really helped me, because if I were fighting that battle by myself in my room on social media, seeing all the terrible things that people were saying about me when I was so young and so impressionable, again, I don't think I would have survived.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have survived. I think people were placing bets on when it would be that Abby Velez kills herself. Mm. And I'm so grateful that my mom shielded me from that. I feel guilt that she had to take those bullets on the back, and she had to struggle with that. And she had to see that everyone was talking about her daughter in that way. But she made that sacrifice for my mental health. And it saved me. It was my saving grace. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I got to see some of the tweets, some of which were a little exaggerated. Yeah. I was like, relax, mm-hmm. whatever. But I think, because I didn't see it at the time and I didn't suffer by myself, it was good for me that I just was disconnected and I didn't know. And mm-hmm. I kind of stopped caring after that. I was like, whatever. But for now, for kids that are going through this, I think it happens so much more. It happens so much more often than it did to me. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of kids are susceptible to cyberbullying because there's so many avenues of social media, and people are becoming increasingly bold and vicious on social media. I went through this in 2016, 2017, and that was bad. Now, I can't imagine how much more severe it is. But that's why I think parents need to be involved in their kids' lives. You need to be able to see my kids acting different. What's going on? Show me your phone.
Yeah.
And take that away, shield them, protect them from that, because kids should not be exposed to that kind of hate.
Yeah.
But for people our age, you know, for me who gets cyberbullied right now, mm-hmm. I think you have to have a backbone of confidence, and you can't respond to it. You cannot entertain hate, because then it continues to flourish and you can't contain it. Mm. You can't give it any mind. Pay no mind. Block them, delete them, whatever. Let's keep it moving. Really, just ignore it. I think what I did well in high school is that I made a joke out of it. Like, you know, once I got to Coronado and people would say their comments or say something to me, I'd be like, I kind of owned it. I was like, yeah, and so what? Like, and I bet you would want to, right? Like, I kind of just owned it, because what else can you do? You have to make a joke about it, keep it moving. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
So for kids that are going through something that they think is the end of their world, one, it's never the end of the world, which I've come to learn. It's never the end of the world. Two, you need a support system, and you have to be able to trust someone. If you don't have your parents, it has to be a friend, somebody, anybody, because you can't go through it alone. That's when it's the end of the world.
Yeah. When is the time to like clap back, if there is one?
I clapped back. Let me think for me. I clapped back when there was nothing left anymore. Mm. I had already been dragged multiple times. There wasn't any coming back from it. Yeah, like it was already done for. I didn't have my phone for a long time. Once I had seen the tweet, so my mom printed them, right? Because they had to go to the police station because we filed police reports on people. And so my mom printed them. So I'm seeing on paper all these tweets. I'm like, what the? She said that. She's my friend. I'm like, what the?
That's crazy.
That was a hard part too, where I'm like, this person who I went to kindergarten with, like they said that. And it was devastating. But anyways, moral of the story, it's time to clap back once you're on the come up. You know, you can mourn about it like, oh, this is devastating, everyone hates me, blah blah blah. And when you're sensitive about it, like when you're like, I'm gonna cry about it, that's not a time to clap back. It's time to clap back when you're like, you know what, it's time to get it together, let's keep it moving, let's bounce back,
what are we doing here?
Like, you're still talking about it, okay, let's go. And that's kind of how I was like, you know what, I'm ready to start my life again. Like, if y'all are still talking about that, you really need something else to talk about. And then I would clap back, and that's what I would say. I'd be like, what? And so what? And I became okay with loneliness. I became okay with solitude. I was like, I don't need a best friend. I don't look at what all my best friends said about me on Twitter, girl. I don't need a best friend. Like, I'm fine.
No, that's awesome. And So your life out here in Austin, how's it treating you so far? Not so far. You've been here for a little bit, so.
I'm sure you'll find this too for people that leave El Paso. Oh, well, you went to ASU.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think for me, well, you're born and raised, so you get me. Okay. For people that leave El Paso at first, I think it's for the first few months, it's like, oh yeah, I'm out of my hometown. Let's go out. Let's have a good time. Let's make friends. And then after a while, it kind of sets in. Wait a second. I miss my mom. I miss El Cometa. I want to go to Little Shack. And that's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years since I've lived in El Paso. And I keep on wondering, when is it going to get easier? My family, my mom, my sister, and my niece came to visit me recently. And they left. And they went back to El Paso. And my earth shattered. For some reason, I was inconsolable. I was so sad. I couldn't stop crying because they had left. And I'm talking to Keenan and I'm like, it's been 4 years. I say hello and goodbye all the time. Why is it still affecting me? He's like, well, because it's El Paso. Nothing's like home. Nothing's like home. And that's how I feel. I think Austin is great and it's fabulous for creatives and for young people who want to have a good time. It's a thriving area. It's great. It's so much to do. You have the lake, whatever. But for me, no matter where I live, a piece of me will always be missing. I'll always feel called to go back home.
Yeah.
Even if that's not in my future, I'll always feel that pull back to El Paso. So I can live in a high-rise mansion in Austin in the middle of Barton Springs, and it'll still be like, this is all right. Like, this is fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my downfall.
Yeah.
But Austin's great. It's fabulous. To be honest with you, I don't really like music, nature, or partying.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like all there is to do in Austin. So
yeah,
but it's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You came to the wrong place. And
no, just kidding. Really. If it were up to me, I'd be back in El Paso. They didn't hire me. Please.
That's yeah. So when you think about like you talk about like being on national news.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a really big goal for you. What's like when you think about like you're shooting for the stars?
Yeah.
What's Abby? What's Abby's vision?
I would love to have my own show on a network. So Nora O'Donnell, she was an evening anchor for CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. Something like that. You know, Evening News with Abigail Velez. That's a dream because there is very little representation of Latinas in news.
Yeah,
I know we all say this. You know, there's little representation of whoever and whatever. Yeah. And it comes up a lot. But really, it's... You know, my idol was Stephanie Valle from KVIA because that was the only Latina that I'm seeing on TV. You know what I mean? And so now that I'm growing up and I want to make a name for myself, I think me and Keenan have that same goal. My husband and I, where he's like, I want to be the anchor of an evening news show. And I'm like, well, I want to be an anchor of an evening news show. So we'll see what happens.
Maybe you'll be the first. Well, I don't know if it's happened where it's a husband and wife that have their own like
evening.
Yeah.
I mean, like, why not? Yeah. And we're great. Like, me and Keenan have great. So me and Keenan are emceeing Miss El Paso.
Oh, wow.
In
when
a
is
few
that?
Weeks, oh, a few weeks. March 29th.
Also, you'll be back soon.
Yeah. So I'll be back home soon.
That's
but
good.
We've emceed pageants together and it's great. Like, cause I know what he's going to say. He knows what I'm going to say and we can riff.
Yeah.
And so that would be great to be on an evening news. But for me, it's like it's a beautiful thing to have this bushy ambition that I have right now, this wild ambition that everything's possible for me. And I know that life will get you down. Trust me. I've had experiences at CBS Austin where I'm like, bye, I'm going into social media.
Yeah.
Like, bye, I'm out of here. I'm going into PR. But I think it's important that you never lose faith. I have never lost faith in my ambition or my dreams or my ability to achieve. And I've proven to myself time and time again that I can do hard things and I can survive difficult times. So if I can do that, why can't I be the evening anchor of a national broadcast? Why can't I be successful and beautiful? And so now I'm in a position where it's like, I've already done difficult things. I'm going to continue to do difficult things. So now my eye is set on doing the thing, on making that happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I ask everybody this. What is something you'd leave off with for just words of advice for someone going through a really tough time right now? Think about like when you were like in San Antonio during those dark times. Like, what is something you wish you'd have heard and you would tell somebody?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people who are in the worst state of their mind will hear the basic, you're not alone, you'll get through this, the storm comes before the sunshine. And when you're in that moment of life-shattering devastation, that's not necessarily helpful. It's like when someone you love passes away and they're like, they're in a better place. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not here with me though. Mm-hmm. And it's just not necessarily helpful. But what I would say is this is temporary. This is temporary. Just get through this, go through this as long as you can, get through this, and you'll be on the other side of it. Because that night that I was on my bathroom floor in San Antonio and I thought, I'm not going to survive this. This is the end for me. I'm giving up. I just held on for a little bit. I just waited and then it passed. And then I got up off the floor and I was like, it's a damn good thing I didn't do that. Like, it's a damn good thing I didn't do that. And it's passed and you get over it. In the moment, just hang on for as long as you can. Don't give up and you'll be on the other side. After that, it's a don't lose faith thing. It's going to get better. Mm-hmm. Don't lose faith. But I think a lot of times people have this bad habit of thinking negatively or manifesting bad things. If you want to get better, you have to have the mindset of I'm going to get better. If you want to overcome, you have to have the mindset I'm going to overcome. If you want to achieve, same thing. So get through it. Hold on as long as you can. You'll be on the other side of it. And then commit yourself to being better, to getting better, to achieving better. And if you have that mindset and you surround yourself with people who are telling you the same thing, because there'll be a hater in your circle who has to go. If you surround yourself with people who are like, you're right, you're going to get better, let's help you, you're going to achieve. Next thing you know, you're on your next path to success. And those dark days seem so far behind you.
Wow. You do this, Abby. I forgot you do this shit.
That's hilarious.
That is amazing. So I'm sure that's going to help, like, just this episode in general. It's going to help so many people. I'm definitely going to like listen back and be like, damn, that was a damn good episode.
No, well, God willing. Yeah. I hope so much, because literally, and I hate talking about the whole high school thing. And I hate talking about it because for so long that defined me. For so long, I was that girl. And for so long, it was that happened to me. And I hate talking about it because that's not who I am anymore. That was such a tiny part of my history. But I recognize that in El Paso, because everyone knows each other, that those things still tend to happen. And that was my thing of why I needed to leave El Paso so bad, because that was always going to follow me. Like, that was always going to be who I was. I couldn't become Stephanie Valle if that was always going to be in the background. So I was like, let me go to Austin. And kind of now when I tell the story, everyone's like, okay, who gives a shit? Like, because it's a much bigger city where other things happen. They're like, okay, like, who even cares? So anyways, but the reason why I felt it necessary to bring it up here was because it was a very important part of who I became, because that was the foundational aspect of me growing in confidence. Because it's like, I had to, there was no other option than to be like, this is who I am, this is how I feel, and if you don't like it, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? And so anyways, that was so important. So I want other people to feel inspired by my difficult hardships and just know, like, if she could come up from that, girl, like, if we saw what happened to her in 2017 on Twitter, we did not think she survived. Like, you know, so I just hope some people can take inspiration from
it. For sure they will.
In El Paso, everyone used to recognize Keenan. Like, you're the Cardi B guy.
Cardi B guy.
Yes, do you not know that
story? No,
yes, you do.
I don't.
Keenan did an impression of Cardi B on TV. On, remember, he went, oh, grr. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, now.
He's lying.
Yeah. I definitely, like, have a faint memory. It's just I probably wasn't, like, because at the time, this was probably, what, like 2018?
Yeah.
I was in Arizona, so I probably wasn't tapped into.
Long story short, he did a Cardi B impression, whatever. So after that, every time we'd go to El Paso, they'd be like, you're the Cardi B guy. And so I was like, wait, I'm going to be stoked. Like, I'm so excited for when people recognize me on TV. Like, hey, we saw you on TV. Never.
No.
maybe once, twice. Not really.
Really?
But anyways, never been recognized. But I feel like if a kid came up to me and was like, hey, I watch you on TV, I love you, can we take a picture? I'd be like,
yeah. Like, what about here in Austin? People don't recognize you here?
Like a few times. Like very little.
It's a very young city too. I don't know if how many people
CBS. You know what? Like, I don't really, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing it to get recognized. You know what I mean? Like, give me a paycheck. I have fun at work. Like, whatever. But I So when that happened to me, I was like, are you serious?
That's so crazy. And like, you're on TV, you know. I'm just mentioning it just cause in the most humble way possible. I've actually gotten recognized in El Paso, and that's fucking weird.
That's so crazy. Why don't you love it?
No, personally, I do. It's wild to me every time it happens, because it's like, I'm just doing like a podcast, you know, like it's just, but for sure, like,
well, you should get used to it now. Yeah. So then when it happens in Austin, you're not going to be like, what?
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
So a couple of like just quick hitters I have. What is what is your biggest weakness?
Oh, my biggest weakness. I think I mentioned I'm competitive. And my ambition, which is a great thing. My biggest weakness is my strength, whatever. But honestly, the ambition and the competition and the drive can be blinding sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what's really difficult about it is I've failed before. You know, I've won a lot, but I've failed before too. And when I feel laser focused and I'm manifesting something and I'm like, this is going to happen, this is in my plan, and I don't get it, it's like everything gets thrown off. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, why didn't this happen? Like, I did everything right. And I begin to lose faith, which is why I say, don't lose your faith, because that's the first thing to go when something doesn't go your way. When you're like, why didn't this happen? And then you lose faith. Well, it's not going to happen the next time. And what I've learned is when things don't go your way, just try again until it works out. Just keep on doing it and have the faith that one day it will happen and you'll be prepared for when it does. So my biggest weakness is that when it doesn't go my way, when something doesn't pan out the way I want it to, it affects me. Mm. Like it's hard for me to bounce back.
Yeah.
Like it takes a while for me to get readjusted. Same. Yeah. That's difficult.
And so would you say your greatest strength is your ambition and your drive? Or what about more on like a people level and just like, who you are to your core. Yeah. Like what do you feel like is your superpower?
I don't want to say resilience, even though that's true.
Yeah.
Because I've been able to bounce back from crazy shit. I've been able to come back from crazy things, like things that should have been like career ending. Yeah. Like I've been able to make it forward. But I think like to my core, I have an ability to make people feel seen and connected and important and heard. And more than anything, I think that's my drive that makes me want to make other people feel cared for, because that brings me joy. So at my core, whether it's my family who I know and love so much and they're having a bad day, like I can fix it. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a stranger, I have an ability to just make them feel important, even if they don't believe so in the moment.
Yeah.
So that's a strength that I have that I think has taken me a long way, because even as a reporter, when I go out and I have to get an interview with someone who's having maybe possibly the worst day of their life, I have an ability to make them feel comfortable and have a safe place with me so that they're able to talk about it. And that has helped me a lot, whether it be pageants personally or in my career. That's, I think, what I'm most proud of.
Yeah. That's amazing. So for someone like me who doesn't have like a formal like training or formal education, what is something that I can continue to focus on in this space?
Your advice. You mentioned it already, that you're the one to make it happen. Mm. I think a lot of people are afraid to take that first step or don't know how. Like, for example, if you have an ambition of interviewing your favorite Austin influencer, some people won't be like, oh, I'm too afraid to ask them to be on my podcast, or like, I don't know how to reach out. Just do it. Just send the email. Just DM them. Just do it. And what do you have to lose? You don't have anything to lose. And that's kind of my big point, is that why don't you shoot for the stars? Like, why don't you try your best? Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is that you stay where you're at right now, which is pretty bad. So do it.
Yeah.
If you want to interview Mayor Kirk Watson here in Austin, Mayor Kirk Watson, and you're already making the right moves by building connections with people that can help you in the Austin space. Mm-hmm. Align yourself with the target. This is my goal. How do I achieve it? And you're doing that by networking and shooting your shots. Because for people, they're like, well, I want to achieve this, but they're not doing anything to help. I've met a lot of people who want to be reporters. They're like, I want to work in Austin. I want to be a reporter, but they're not getting the internship. They're not working on their writing. They're not trying to work on their, you know, camera skills. So it's like not going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Like, dreams are not going to work unless you do, like, for real. And for you in your space, I would say continue to shoot your shot, ask for help, make connections, and don't be afraid to ask. It'll be fruitful and rewarding in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going to be really interesting for you, because this has happened to me too. Along the way, I've tried to make connections with people, and I've wanted to talk to people and make these connections that would help me in my career. And I heard a lot of no's. A lot of people told me no. A lot of people didn't give me a chance. And then when you're on the come up, you can remember, oh, this is the person who bet against me. Like, I hope they're
not
doing.
Not gonna lie, I keep receipts, man. Like, I...
Dude, me...
Yeah.
Hello, KVIA rejected me years ago, and I'm still like, I hope you see me.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like the whole Twitter thing. I remember who tweeted me, and they're like, can you promote my brand? Yeah. Are you serious? That's you wanted me to get hit by a bus. Like, don't play with me like that.
Yeah.
And so that's gonna be... so rewarding for you is that you're going to remember people who doubted you, which is going to fuel. I don't know if you're competitive like me.
Oh, insanely.
Yeah. So you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to do this for that hater back in El Paso who said that I wouldn't. And it's going to be so inspiring to you. Yeah. In North Carolina, I had someone tell me, I had a public information officer. He told me, You're never going to be a reporter. You're never going to make it. This is as big as you're going to get because you don't know how to do anything right. And you're not going to have a future. You're done and over with here. And he told me that in North Carolina. In a tiny town in North Carolina, this guy told me this. And it made me cry. And it got to me so bad. I was like, because you can't defend yourself. Yeah. I was like, I can't believe I allowed a grown man to talk to me like this and to insult my ambition. Like, what means the most to me? My ambition? You're going to tell me I'm not going to make it? And so now that I'm in Austin, I tell Keenan, when I get to the network, I'm going to call him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call him and I'm going to say, remember you said that I would never leave North Carolina. Not only have I left North Carolina to go to Austin, now I'm in Washington, D.C., New York. You better recognize. Keenan's like, it's not worth it. Success is the best revenge. No, but I want to hear him.
Yeah. What town was it?
Greenville, North Carolina.
Greenville.
Tiny little town.
Yeah.
So cute. I love North Carolina. No, I didn't think I would, okay? But I loved North Carolina. It was so beautiful, and I had great connections. Most people were friendly. But I remember that guy. I remember where I was, what I was wearing, how I felt when he was on the phone. It was literally, and you know what? I remember in El Paso, too, when I won Miss El Paso Teen, I remember these guys had told me, you're a one-hit wonder. You're never going to win anything again. Pageants are over for you, blah, blah, blah. And when I won Miss San Antonio, years later, mind you, I was like, I'm going to call him because he told me this when I was 16. I'm like 22. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we should have grown up. But I am fueled by that. Like, I'm just so competitive. And like, it kind of almost doesn't hurt me anymore. It's like, it's kind of like, oh, you're betting on me.
Yeah.
And, like, and I'll always bet on me. Like, so I'm like, whatever. And it's so invigorating where I'm like, okay, let's go crazy then.
Yeah. I love that. I can relate to it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to do some big things because people who are like that, like, they achieve some crazy things. So I can definitely see that.
No, you too. And that's
It's a nonstop fire, you know? So like,
I think that's what keeps my drive is like the doubt. Mm. And that's why I say like faith is so important because you're going to get faced with doubt. And I'm sure there's going to be times for you that, and remember this, where you're going to be like, I can't do it anymore. I have to give up. It's not working. It's going slow. I'm not getting it. And you're going to feel that inclination to give up, but you have to keep the faith. Like, think of the bigger picture and think of yourself in the future interviewing that one person that you're like, I really want that person. Mm-hmm. Could be out of the world, like someone famous, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, think of that person and see yourself, literally envision yourself sitting with that person and thinking, that's possible, that's in my reach, I can do it. When you're at your lowest and you're like, I'm going to pack it up, I can't do it, that's when you have to remember that moment. Like, keep that faith. Mm. I think that's especially important for you as you're on this new journey to Austin and you're going to meet new people and you're going to be in the Austin space and you're going to be surrounded by creatives who love this and who will give you tips and advice. Just don't give up. Just keep the faith. And if you give up, temporary, have your day, sulk, everything sucks, and the next day come back 10.
For sure.
Yeah. It's gonna be huge for you. And the best thing is you're gonna be surrounded by people who are gonna uplift you. Mm. Be careful with the ones who don't.
Yeah.
The ones who doubt you, who are like, oh, that's too difficult, that's too out of your reach. Hater in disguise. Really? Because the people who care about you are always gonna push you to be ambitious. Always. They're, mm-hmm. They'll always be like, you should, bro. Like, I'll help you. Yeah, you should. Yeah. The ones who are like, that seems too hard. That's too scary. Hater.
Yeah.
Hater in disguise. And they have to go. Really.
Yes, for sure. I love that. Well, this was episode 71.
Sorry, was that long?
No, this is a lot. I feel like we could talk for 3 more hours, yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Like, I'm a yapper, so.
Me too, sorry.
No, that's amazing. Once again, I really appreciate your time, especially, like, she's literally about to go to CBS Austin right now, do her thing over there. But yeah, I'm so glad we were able to make this happen. Two El Pasoans doing it in Austin, so yeah. That's pretty badass.
And you've had some El Pasoans in Austin that I saw, which is huge. Yeah. Big fan of your podcast. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. I hope it was inspiring to some people who listen. But again, it's been an honor to sit with you because I've been a fan of the podcast for so long. I see you as a fellow journalist. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for your time.
That's an honor.
And if you need a friend in Austin.
No, we should definitely like go explore some spots out here.
Yeah, I think so too.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shoot, if Keenan's ever here, maybe if he wants to hop on the pod too, that'd be sick. Does he ever come down?
Every weekend, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, my mom's a fan of your podcast too.
Really?
Shoot, my mom has followed you forever.
No way.
My mom follows everyone on Instagram, girl. She's a fan.
What's her name?
Monique. Monica. Anyways, I told her that I was coming on the podcast. She was so excited because she loves this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, Keenan too. So everyone's going to be, everyone was very happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes me actually so happy.
You have fans. I'm telling you, you're the guy.
Yeah. Appreciate you. But yes, till next time, y'all.